this evening, the words of my text will be found three times in the Gospel of Matthew. The words are little faith. They are first found in connection with the tempest on the lake, when the Lord said to the alarmed and frightened disciples, "Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith?" Matthew 8 and verse 26. Then the same words are found in the record of the incident when Christ walked on the sea. And you will remember how Peter tried to go to him, but trembling at the waves and the billows, he began to sink. And the Lord, seizing him by the hand, said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Chapter 14 and verse 31. Finally, the words are found when on another occasion they crossed the lake and the disciples realized that they had brought no provisions with them. And the Lord again said to them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread?" Chapter 16 and verse 8. On each of these occasions, when the words appear, little faith, the Lord seems to be saying that if the disciples had strong faith, they would have been spared undue anxiety. It is true, dear friends, that faith can be exceedingly small and weak. And not just faith in general, but saving faith, by which I mean the faith which gives us a claim to Christ and his salvation. I want to begin tonight by saying a word or two about that faith. What I say now is an answer to the question, what is saving faith? First of all, let me say that the gospel, or the message of salvation, calls for faith in order that salvation may be bestowed. In Romans 10:8, the gospel is called the word of faith for this very reason. And when it is preached to a man, it is in such terms as this, in Acts 16, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The gospel then calls for faith. The second thing I want to say is this, that faith's object is the Lord Jesus Christ as crucified for sinners. That has always been the object of faith. when the gospel was preached to our first parents after the fall, they being called to believe. The object was the seed of the woman, whose heel would be bruised. When the same gospel was preached to Abram, the gospel presented to the patriarch, the one in whom the nations of the earth would be blessed. When the gospel was believed by Moses, the epistle to the Hebrews tells us that he esteemed Christ of greater value than all the riches of Egypt. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, he says of his first visit to them that he determined when he came to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that was the object of faith. Faith must be directed to Christ, who died for sinners, and faith must rest there. Third truth is this, that faith must proceed from the heart. It is not something which a man can just say, well, I believe, and that suffices. Paul in Romans 10 says, with the heart man believeth. And the heart there is a word which sums up the whole of the soul. It means that the mind trusts in the object of faith. It means that the affections go out to the object of faith. It means that the will makes choice of the object of faith. It has to be something inward. It has to involve the whole of the inner man, mind, heart, and will. This brings me to the fourth matter, the nature of faith. What is it that we are talking of? Faith in this connection is first of all a believing of Christ. I mean by that faith accepts what the gospel says of Christ, as in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. In that instance and many others, faith is credence. It is acceptance of the truth. That is the initial act of faith. We accept what the gospel says about Jesus Christ. It is a believing of Christ. But the second part of faith is a believing on Christ. And in the epistles we are told time and again, whoever believes on him shall not be confounded. It is resting, placing confidence upon the Lord Jesus Christ for our own salvation. So even if a man was able to say, I believe what the preacher said, it is insufficient. Faith must stretch further. I not only believe in the sense of believing of Christ in the Word, but I believe in the sense of trusting my soul to Christ. A personal response, a commitment of my soul to the one who is able and willing to save. Fifthly, the warrant of faith. What authority does a sinner have for accepting the gospel as the means of his salvation and relying upon Christ? The warrant is the word of God, and especially the gracious offer of Christ made therein. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the word. He is the offer that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That gives any sinner, every sinner, the warrant he needs. Whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. The sixth truth is that faith is the instrument of salvation. We must be careful over terms. I don't like the word condition. Faith is not the condition of salvation. Christ has fulfilled the condition of salvation. But faith is the instrumental means whereby this Christ comes into our possession. And why is it faith and not another quality, like love? Why are we saved by faith? And the answer to that is this, that love and other graces are operative. They do something. They bestow something. I love someone and I'm kind to them. And I seek their good. But faith is different. Faith is not operative, it's receptive. That's of the nature of faith. It hasn't got anything, but it commits itself to another. And faith is the chosen instrument because it humbles the sinner because we've got nothing to bestow. And it exalts the Savior because he alone can save our souls. The seventh truth is that faith unites us to Christ. It is this believing what the gospel says, and this trusting in the Savior, which brings us into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Christ expressed it in terms like this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The coming was coming to rest, coming to trust. And then he added, take my yoke upon you. If you come to Christ truly in a believing way, you yoke up with Christ. If you tell him that you've come to rest on him, he says, rest, my friend. And he receives you. If you come to him saying, I need someone in whom to confide, he says, confide, my friend. If you say, I need someone to whom I shall commit my immortal soul, he says, commit it to me, my friend. And it is that that establishes a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessed thing when a man can say, I know whom I have believed. Now that is the saving faith that we are talking about when we preach the gospel. And concerning this faith, I've got two other things to say. They can be summed up in these two headings: a little faith and a great salvation. A little faith. Faith can be exceedingly small and weak. The Lord Jesus in Luke 17:20 spoke of such faith as was like a small seed, a mustard seed. Sometimes faith is like that, exceedingly small. The disciples recognized it. They came to the Lord Jesus on one occasion and they said, Lord, increase our faith. They were conscious of the fact that their faith was so feeble. The Apostle Paul is aware of it when he writes to the Thessalonians in the second epistle and commends them that their faith groweth exceedingly. Words which assume that at the first their faith was very small. We sometimes meet with people who say, my faith is so small and weak. I have only little faith. And they're troubled over that. Now let me, still under this head, address two issues. Identifying little faith, and then strengthening little faith. Identifying it. How can we define it? How can we describe it? What does the Bible mean by little faith? Little faith is when we fail to keep Christ in view. For example, when Peter looked at the angry waters and took his eyes off Christ, the Lord said, O ye of little faith. When the disciples as a company were more taken up with their lack of bread than they were the Lord Jesus, he said to them, O ye of little faith. Little faith has this characteristic, that it doesn't keep Christ in vision, but it takes account of other things, problems, and concerns. The second characteristic of little faith, as we seek to identify it, is this, that it goes too much on feelings. Now, we are told by the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 5 these standard words: we walk by faith, not by sight. But those with little faith will find that insufficient. And they will constantly say, I hear what you say, but I don't feel that. I believe everything, but I haven't experienced it like I ought. And therefore, I can't think that I've ever come to faith. It is little faith. A third characteristic of it is that it is often filled with care and even with sorrow. On one account, because the believer with little faith can scarcely credit that he has any. And on another account, that the believer with little faith makes a great deal of discouragement and a great deal of distress. And so they are often full of care when the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Cast your care upon him. That is strong faith. For he careth for you. That is strong faith. These alarms are as nothing. These commotions in your heart are as nothing. Trust me. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The fourth mark of little faith is that it has a tendency to dwell on discouragements. And it can't take discouragement. It's like the one described in Psalm 34. I cried to the Lord, and he delivered me out of all my fears. There you are. That's a man with a little faith. Possessed. Disturbed. By fears. And so little faith finally can be identified with all too much a readiness to give up. What's the point of coming to church? My faith is so small. What's the point of continuing my profession? My faith is so small. And so little faith. A character in the progress, Pilgrim's Progress, is ready to turn aside, is ready to go back. Because he doesn't feel that he's got the strength to go on. Thus we can identify little faith. But now we need to strengthen little faith. And how can that be done? Well, first of all, we need to maintain contact with the Lord Jesus, because it's in that friendship with Christ that we receive the grace we need to make little faith strong faith. Of his fullness have all we received. Away from Christ, apart from Christ, little faith will never grow. It will never prosper. Secondly, to strengthen little faith, we need the Word of God. We need to read it every day in order to believe it. We need to hear it every week that it may be confirmed to us. Why is that so important? Because of Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's as the Word of God comes to us that faith is given a platform, and faith is able to trust in it. That is the way for faith to grow. Thirdly, we can use prayer. I quoted just now the request of the disciples recorded in Luke 17:5, Lord, increase our faith. That is a means to increase faith. To pray that your faith will not remain as it presently is, in its immature and vulnerable state, but your faith will thrive. And your faith will become mighty. And prayer is made to that effect. Fourthly, there is Christian fellowship, which is a means of strengthening little faith. When Paul writes to the Christians to whom his letters are sent, he says, edify one another. And the word means build up one another. When you come together as Christian friends, some will be weak and some will be strong. Well, it's the part of the strong to strengthen the weak. That is your Christian ministry, not to be obsessed with your own needs and your own complaints, but to look upon another believer and say, how can I help that man? How can I help that woman? To be strong in faith, giving glory to God. And your counsel, the reminder you give of the promises of God, the experience you relate of God's kindness in the past, that will strengthen them. And they will hear you to profit. And lastly, you need the Spirit of God to strengthen faith. You need to be experimental Christians. You need to seek after that experience of the Spirit which will come down like rain upon parched land so that the grass will spring up and the graces will thrive and faith amongst them. It's the Spirit who has fructifying power, and it's our experience of the Spirit of God, which makes us pass from childhood to manhood, which enables faith to grow. And so you might identify with me tonight and say, you've described me to a T, that's me. You might as well have announced my name. I'm Mr. Little Faith. I'm Miss Little Faith. Mrs. Little Faith. O ye of little faith. I've spoken of a little faith. I want to speak secondly and more briefly of a great salvation. You see, it is all too common amongst those with little faith to think the worst. To say, Pastor, my faith is so small and feeble that I don't think I can be saved at all. What I want to say is that little faith, however little, saves. And as I draw to a close, I want to refer you to certain truths. And the first is this. The strength or weakness of faith is not to the point. It's the existence of faith. And when we're at the beginning of our Christian lives, everything is small. Jesus said in Mark 4 that it's like a seed sown. first the shoot and the blade and the full ear. But first the shoot, little faith. The farmer doesn't go out into the field and see these shoots all over the field and say, what a disastrous harvest this is. Everything's so small. No, he's wise enough to perceive that it is not the weakness or the strength of the shoot that matters at all. It is the presence of the shoot in the ground that matters. So it is with faith. The second thing I want to say is this, that little faith receives a loving Savior. You see, you concentrate on little. As a pastor, I concentrate on faith. You say, you have faith, but it's little. I say, but you have faith. And it may be little, but faith is receiving Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, whether you receive him with strong faith or weak faith, the fact is, if it's faith at all, you've received him. Somebody comes to my house and rings the doorbell. I might go out and swing open the door. Strong faith. I might go out and open the door just a little. Weak faith. But the person is received, notwithstanding. Little faith receives the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thirdly, you come back to me and you say, but you're missing the point. My faith is so small. What do you think, my friend? That you are saved by your faith? You talk as if that is your belief. That because your faith is small, your salvation is in jeopardy. But you are not saved by your faith. You are saved by the Redeemer. And faith, whether strong or weak, it just lays hold of him that is mighty to save. A starving family may have provision made for them. Some of the children go to the place where bread is given out, and their feeble little hands, because they're starved, in a state of famine and need, can hardly take the bread, but they do take it. Another comes along, the father of the family, he's a stronger man. He has more resources. He lays hold of the bread and takes it. Do you think the little child fails because the hand was little? Not at all. Little faith can take a great Christ. The fourth truth I say is this, that in the New Testament, the promises were not made to great faith. You give me one example of a text which supports you and says that salvation is given to those who've got great faith. It doesn't say that. I defy you to find proof of what is worrying you, because your faith is small. You can't be saved My Bible says that whosoever believeth, whether strongly or weakly, believeth, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Fifthly, dear friend, so troubled, so doubting, consider the nature of faith. What is it? You know, one of the words used in the Old Testament for faith, you'll find it in Psalm 22, is a Hebrew word which means roll oneself upon the Lord. It's a lovely expression. To roll oneself upon the Lord. He trusted, he rolled himself upon the Lord. Can you do that? And there all your burden of guilt just tumble towards Christ? No big deal, is it? No great endeavor. Just to leave yourselves in Christ's hands for saving. Is that so hard? You say, I didn't do it very well. That's not the issue. Did you do it at all? If you did, then Jesus says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Sixthly, my troubled friend, the Lord Jesus has particular thought of you when he says, the bruised reed I will not break, and the dimly burning flax I will not quench. Oh, that's you, isn't it? Bruised, such a flicker of a faith. But Christ says, I'll not despise that. I will receive that. I will heal the bruising. I will increase the flame. Such is the Christ with whom you have to do. Which brings me to my last statement. Look at the examples given in the Bible of little faith. Now, let's imagine we're in the wilderness and a lot of people have been stung by a serpent. And Moses is with us and he puts up a brazen serpent upon a pole and he says, if you look to the brazen serpent, you'll be healed and you won't die of your snake bite. Now look, in the congregation tonight, some of you are not wearing glasses, you can see very clearly. Some of us are wearing glasses and we sometimes can hardly see a thing. But it doesn't matter, and it wouldn't have mattered then. Every Israelite that looked, whether he had strong sight or whether he had weak sight, if he looked, he was saved. See what I'm trying to say? Even little faith saves. The other is a New Testament illustration. The woman with the issue of blood. Such a little faith. We read that she came up behind Christ, and so little was her faith that she touched the hem of his garment. She didn't have the faith to ask him. She didn't have the faith to stop him. She didn't have the faith to throw herself at the feet of him. She touched the hem of his garment. And straightway was made whole. Can I say it again, my friends? It's not your strong faith that saves you. Otherwise, salvation is by works. It is your simple faith, whether strong or weak, not in yourself, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for sinners. The taking of him and the trusting of him, that is faith, be it strong or be it weak. It is the means of securing salvation. A little faith, a great salvation. I want some of you to take heart, because I think you are unnecessarily troubled. And you're living in the shadow of Doubting Castle, aren't you? And I want to say to you tonight, look here, little faith. It's enough to procure a great salvation. Only believe. Only believe. Amen.